It's your people.
We're interviewing
John
Otto
Clarkson, who is the son of Heber Otto Clarkson and Ida. What's her middle name?
Isabella.
Is it Isabella? Norton. And we're at 1711 North Lambert Lane. And today is Sunday, October the 11th. Okay.
1959.
That's a good thing. Dad, come on back over here.
In 1,000 years from now, somebody hears this tape, they won't know what year it was.
That's right. I mean, I could lose it in just a few months, the date. When were you born, John?
I was born the 20th of April, 1899.
Where was the family living when you were born?
In Oaxaca, Old Mexico.
Oaxaca?
Yeah, we're down in
Sonora.
Sonora. Right among the Mexicans. She was born the same place I was.
How long were you there?
Oh, I was there not very long. She lived there longer than I did. She lived there during the flood, but I moved away.
Before the flood.
Yeah.
Well, now, I remember Mother telling me when she was talking about the family that's where she met Dad when they went down to, when your family moved down to, was it San Juan? No.
San Jose.
Yeah. Can I see if it's working?
This she that we've been talking about.
This what?
The she that we've been talking about, we haven't identified, is John's wife. And what was your maiden name, Dora?
Nagley.
Dora Nagley. And your parents were?
Daniel Colin Nagley and Alpha Williams.
Now we won't have to call her she. Well, now tell me all you can remember about your mother and your father and your brothers and sisters and things that happened when you were children. What do you think, Cap on?
I haven't thought about it for so long. I don't know. I remember when we went to Chuchupa. We lived there. That's where I was baptized. And I guess I was, maybe about 7 when we left, when we went there. And as near as I can remember, we went down the big river there, and that's where my dad baptized. But I don't remember any of the particulars. I don't know whether there's a lot of people there or whether just one or two of us.
Mm-hmm. I'm all the way open.
The biggest thing I remember in my life was Charlotte did get a big kick out of it. When we moved to Tomasichi, we went in the sort of a big, it was a big room, just about as big as this, I guess. And it was the one that Dad had picked out for us to live in. And I went in and looked around. The walls were all black and everything was all smoked up. And I stuck my head in the door and says, I'm not going to live here. I took out after the wagon. My aunt was going on with part of the family to the Thai camp.
You mean
with Dad.
Your dad's other wife?
Uh-huh. And
now her name was
Ida Wilson.
Yeah.
And so I started running after the wagon, didn't have hat or anything with me. I just wanted to catch that wagon and go with them because I didn't want to live in that dirty room.
Besides, you knew if you stayed, you'd have to clean it up. I remember Mother telling me about that. She said that she was mad at your father because he left your mother there with that, not a stove. She said there wasn't even a stove in it to cook on. And then she left, and he went on to the Thai camp and left your mother there with the small children to clean that place up.
Yeah, the first thing Charlotte did was roll up her sleeves and tie something around her head, I guess, and go to work. She probably had it cleaned up and livable before we were out of town hardly, but I knew I wasn't going to stay there.
How old were you? This was when you were about 8?
I was a kid then, 8, 9 years old.
Independent, weren't you?
We went up to that Thai camp and lived there. I don't know how long we stayed there. Dad had moved around from place to place on railroad construction.
What kind of a man was your father?
Oh, he was about my height and not
now
quite
what,
as high as
what
I am,
height,
maybe.
What height is that?
He was close to 6 feet, 5'10", something like that. And I imagine he'd weigh about 170 pounds, usually. But he didn't stay still long enough to make a home in any one place. He'd just go from one place to another. On that railroad construction, he'd just finish one job and then go to another. First building grades and chopping ties.
Wonder why he did.
I remember one time that we were all camped in tents, and he was making railroad grades, and the land where we were camped, I guess, was kind of low among trees. It seemed to me like there were cottonwood trees, and the river came down about almost up to her knees, I guess, and we were wading around in the water, and chickens were floating in the water.
The what?
Chickens.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
You just see the chickens around on the water, some of them, kind of floating around like ducks. I never will remember and forget that.
Hmm. My mother mentioned something about that, too.
And then we just moved from there to one place and another and finally came over to Madera, where he worked in the lumber mill.
Were you the one that Mother tried to poison?
No, I don't know. She probably should.
Seems like she said that one of the little brothers. I thought she said John when you were just a little baby, and they were out plowing, and they just plowed the ground, and she was just a little girl, and she went along and picked up a root, and she thought that it was a carrot, and she dusted it off and handed it to the baby she had with her. And I thought she said John, maybe it wasn't, and it turned out to be poison. And the pupils of his eyes started to dilate, and her mother was a midwife and did a lot of doctoring around. But Ida Norton's mother, wasn't she?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "This child, there's something the matter with this child." And she took her grandmother took her over to the doctor, and she was being poisoned from her stomach.
V and I used to pal around more than anybody else. That is, more than I did with any other one of the girls.
Mm-hmm.
But we used to go out in the woods and play all the time and ride stick horses and play. I remember one time we were playing Follow the Leader, and it was in among pine trees, and there were little lakes of water around different places in there. And these lakes, bodies of water, the leaves and the bark and stuff would float on the top of them, and you couldn't tell it was water.
Oh,
I knew the water was there, and so I was in the head of her, and I walked around this little lake of water and told her to come on. So she started to cut straight through it in the water.
How deep was it?
Oh, just up
to her knees.
About to her knees again. And another time we were riding a horse, and she was in front of me and I was behind. I was kicking the horse and making it go fast, because I wanted to go fast. I started to fall off, and so as I fell off, I grabbed her leg and pulled her off. She always says that every time I'd try to get in trouble, I'd
take her with
me. Yeah, take her with me.
She always called him Jack. She still does.
How old? How much older or younger was she than you?
She's older.
She's older.
Now, how did the children appear in the family? Mother was the oldest.
And then Heber.
And then Heber.
And then Lewis. And then Vivian. And myself. And Hiram. And then Berta. Oh yeah, Bill and Vernon and Emma. Emma Bell was the last one born. She was born 1910 in Madeira, and that was during the Revolution down there. And I think the first Negro I ever saw was down there in Madeira.
Negro.
Uh-huh.
Hmm.
And it seems to me like they caught a Negro there then, and that they were doing something. They didn't want him to be betraying them or something, but they. The way I remember it, they took him out and made him dig his grave and then shot him into it. That slow way. Our house was out on the outskirts of town. And they took him out, made him dig a grave, and then shot him.
You see, Mother didn't get married until she was 25.
When did the Mexicans start shooting the Mormons out of there?
Well, there wasn't any Mormons in Madeira that I know of. I don't think there were any there.
What was Grandfather doing there?
He was working in the mill. He was a millwright.
What mill? Lumber mill?
Uh-huh.
There weren't ever any Mormons there, they'd already gone.
I don't think there was ever any there.
Except for you.
There wasn't any that I know of. Then we moved from there over to Madeira. That was another sawmill town. We worked in there for a little while before we came over to San Jose. And there, the Earn came over there and helped move us over to San Jose. That's where we got.
Were you in that trip down there too?
Uh-huh.
That's too bad they moved out of there. The Mexicans chased you out of there though, didn't they?
Well, we left before, the general exodus.
Oh, did you? Your father just couldn't stay put, could he? Mm-hmm.
He wanted to move.
Why
again.
Did he like it there?
Well, I don't know. I guess, it was the revolution was going on then,
uh-huh.
And he probably figured he'd have to get out anyway. So he just, or it might have been that he lived there long enough.
He never stayed very much, very put, did he?
But the only burro I ever saw that would herd horses and cows, I had it there.
Oh.
We had to go. It wasn't in Madeira. It was in, what was the name of that place?
We should take her, yeah.
No, don't worry about it.
But anyway, I'd take this boy with me to, we had to go way up on a high loma. The river came down and we were living out in the Forks River.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd take our horses and cows way up on top of this high
mesa.
A steep trail going up there, and we'd take them up there and herd them. And this burro would run round and round just like a shepherd dog does his sheep.
Where'd you get that burro?
Just picked him up, yes. But,
was he the one that was such a sad looking sight?
I don't know.
Your mother said your father's, it seemed to her that your father had a knack for picking up the worst animals in the whole world.
He had a bad animal when he was moving along. I remember an old mule he had tried to work with a team of horses.
Was that it?
No, this was just so mean he couldn't have anything lame by him.
Oh.
He had to chain one of his front feet to his hind, one of his hind feet, in order to keep him kicking. And he was so mean, he'd just kick and bite and run. Dad could work the meanest animal of anyone I ever saw. I don't know how he did it. He was short of a mule, I guess, or a horse or something, and someone gave him to him if he could work him, so he worked him. That's the way he worked him with. But I remember that old chain, one foot to the other on one side there, so he couldn't reach me.
You were telling me about this other one that would herd the animals.
Yeah, he'd just run around, help me gather them up when we start home with them, and it seemed like, well, I don't know whether I believe it myself, but the way I remember it, if these horses didn't gather up and go on, like, you know, some of them would stay there and want to feed some more,
mm-hmm.
and he'd turn around and kick at them. The only way I had to move him. He'd just run around there, and I'd run with him, and we'd just get those things up.
I've heard of dogs doing that, but never knew.
And when we started out to Douglas, this burro, I wanted to take him out with him, and they wouldn't let me, because they said they couldn't take him into the States. But the burro, I took him away for a long ways. The burro followed the wagon, and one day I missed him, never did see him anymore. So I guess he wandered off someplace.
Why wouldn't they just take him into the States?
Oh, I imagine they figured that they wouldn't let him cross the border or something. But I sure didn't want to take my burro with me. And when we got out to Douglas, we were stopped there at the immigration house, and there's where I saw my first bicycle. I wondered and wondered how they could balance themselves on two wheels. I couldn't see why they wouldn't need either three or four.
How old were you then?
I was about 12. But I'd see them ride those bicycles, and I'd just look at them and look at them, wonder how they could make them stay up.
First time you'd seen one, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they didn't have any bicycles in Mexico, where we were. We were in the mountains most of the time. Well, you wouldn't have any roads to ride them on. I should just rode them out among the brush.
Well, what were you doing in Douglas? Is that when you came out of old Mexico?
That's when we came out from San Jose.
Oh.
Lived there. We never did live in Tentville, but soon after that they had a big Tentville, what they call Tentville. I think there were hundreds of tents there.
Was that where the
Mormons came out, most of them?
The Exodus.
That where the government put up the...
Mm-hmm.
His mother said something about the railroad paying, taking them back where anywhere they wanted to go free or something like that.
I don't know. We stayed in Douglas and worked there for a while and went over to Tucson.
What was your father doing there? Mill work again?
I don't know what he was doing in Tucson or in Douglas. I don't remember. He was a carpenter, so he probably was doing carpenter work.
Mm-hmm. And you went up to Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
And now, by the time you got up to Tucson, how old were you?
Oh, I must have been about 12, 13 then. 13 or 14. Because we came out in. The Exodus was in when? 12?
Mm-hmm.
We came out in 1911. Probably stayed in Douglas about a year, year and a half, maybe less. We went over to Tucson, cleared ground over there for a while, getting some of that ground ready to farm. There was a banker in Tucson, had a lot of ground out there, and he broke it up into 40-acre tracts, and he'd give people so much for clearing it.
Mm-hmm. So much land, they cleared so much land,
Well, he'd give them so much money to clear some of it. It was $20-$25 an acre.
Hey, Dad made some money doing that. When he came, they came out of Mexico.
Yeah, a lot of land to clear.
Mesquite.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you tell me how they do it. I forget how they do that. What do you remember about my mother as a girl? Do you have any recollections of...
I don't remember very much about Charlotte because she was away from home a lot of the time cooking. She used to cook she cooked for a long time on a cow ranch, one certain cow ranch. I don't remember what the name of it was now. But she wasn't at home as much as the rest of us.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she was quite a bit younger than she.
Mm-hmm.
And she left home. She told me she left home to cook on that cow ranch to earn money to go back to the academy. And she was just there a year. And then she and Dad got married. Went back to Tucson, where you were. Got married from there, so you were still quite young, I guess, when she got married.
Yeah, I don't remember what year now she got married, but she was much older than I was. But we didn't pat around very much. We weren't very close
mm-hmm.
to each other then.
I wonder, where did you meet your wife?
I really got acquainted with her when she came up to stay with us teaching school. She boarded with us
one
winter when she taught school. Born in the same town, still we didn't know each other until 20 years later.
That happened quite often, doesn't it? Did you talk into marrying him then, Dora?
Yes. And then he decided it wasn't me he wanted.
Oh.
I chased her until she caught me.
Just like a man.
No, I'm not kidding. He went off to marry another woman.
Well,
she wouldn't have him. And
well, tell us about that. Sounds like an interesting story.
She wouldn't have, something happened and she didn't have him. And so after a while, he came back to me.
Was that in old Mexico?
No, that was out in Tucson.
Man, can you make up your mind? She made a pretty girl.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how long did you live with them, Dora?
2 winters, I think it was 2 weeks. I was just there during the week because my folks only lived about, 10 miles away from them.
Wasn't that far.
But it was too far to go back and forth, so I stayed there during the week. He was in the army, in the military department out at the University of Arizona at the time.
What were you doing there?
Oh, I was, they had a detached regiment of
cavalrymen
there, and teaching. They had stables there to, with students, teaching the military, and I worked in the office most of the time. I wasn't out. I didn't get very much military training. I was there 1 year.
Mm. He was a bugler, too.
Where?
Yeah, they made me a bugler.
Huh.
I've been bugling ever since.
Did any of you children pick up the violin from your
mm-hmm.
father?
Sure, we took violin lessons. The concert was pretty good, but he...
This is your children.
Oh, I was
wondering if any of your brothers and sisters, or any of them... And your father was quite a fiddler, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He is, huh? Well, why don't you go on up to it?
Dad used to play these go to and come from things.
Accordion?
Uh-huh.
Well, Mother said he played the violin.
I don't remember him playing violin.
But you have his violin?
Yeah, I've got to. I imagine when he was younger he played. Well, just to entertain himself like I did.
Well, she said that all the dances he was a fiddler.
What?
Uh-huh.
I didn't know
but
that.
She told me, he said that every time they'd have a dance, he'd be the one that cleaned the hall up and then he'd stand fiddle. For the dampers.
I know from the time I can remember, he always had one of these little accordions, just these little ones.
Mm-hmm.
And he and the kids would wear one out and then get another one.
Hmm.
But I never know he. Lewis played the horn for a while.
What kind of horn?
I think it was a. Oh, I don't know. One of these short horns, about that long. I don't know what they called it.
Cornet, sounds like, doesn't it? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, now, she says that you played the violin, is that right?
No, not very much. I took lessons when I was just a kid in Tucson a while, but I never did get so I could really played very well.
This false modesty.
And I like to play the tenor banjo and the guitar better than any of them.
You play that?
I played quite a bit until I got my finger cut off and I quit.
Oh, that's too bad.
It knocked a hole in my
in your cords, huh? Girl, why don't you tell some of this? I bet you can tell better than he can.
She knows more about Mexico than I do.
Tell about how, when you get out of the army.
Well, now, was this World War I? Did you go in the army at that time? Is that why you went into the army?
Well, it was after World War I. This was in 1920. Only 1920. I stayed in 1921, and then after that, I went and started working for the railroad.
Mm-hmm.
I've been with the railroad ever since.
You worked in the mine first, huh?
We lived just a little while, about 6 months between jobs. Went on a hobo trip to Hazel Far.
Did you? Where'd you go up there?
Up here.
Up here?
We left.
Was this after or before you were married?
Before.
Oh.
It was just after we got out of the army. We didn't have anything to do, so we decided we'd go on a hobo trip. We started out from Tucson, went down to Douglas and got discharged. And from there we went, started through here, came up into Utah.
Sounds like what the kids call hitchhiking now.
We went on the train.
We rode the train.
Oh.
Our faces get black so we couldn't recognize each other on these coal burning engines.
Oh, uh-huh. Well, how did they... Were they as vigilant then about throwing people off?
In some places they were, and most places we weren't bothered any. We'd go from one town to another. We worked down in Winslow for quite a while. Stayed there and worked.
Where's Winslow?
Down there, northern part of Arizona.
Just down flat earth outside.
She was going to school at Flagstaff that year. We stopped there and saw her. We'd fool around, we'd run out of money, and then we'd stop and work someplace. We come up here and picked apples and top beets.
Oh, really?
Oh. First apples I ever picked, I guess. The first beets I ever topped.
Well, did you see Mother then? Wasn't she in Utah by that time?
No.
They were over her then.
Was she still Hurley? Mm-hmm. That's right, the twins and Irma were born at Hurley.
He had a sister living in Provo. The name is Payne. Married to a... What was that Payne's name? Do you know him?
You mean Ace's sister?
Uh-huh. Anyway, we picked apples for him for a while. And I don't know. We top beets for somebody. They weren't his beets.
That's a nice job. Topping beets is not bad. He should have been here to weed them. And send them. That's what they do with them, isn't it?
Both jobs are pretty bad.
Well, how do they plant those beets? Just sow them along and have to thin them?
Mm-hmm.
Like they did with cotton.
Well, all we had to do, they plowed them up and we went on and picked them up and chopped them off with some kind of big long knife they had.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do that anymore, do they? They have automatic toppers. They still do that by hand, the topping? Oh, gruesome job. I'd hate to have to top a lot of acres of beef. I was complaining because I had to top a few carrots this morning.
Well, do they have to thin them by hand?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a back-breaking job.
It's terrible. Japanese are the only ones that can really stand it.
That's a low-down job.
Been doing with a short handle hole and handle about that long. You get down like this all day long, and then you go along and you whack them out all but a little pile of them here, and then you have to pick them all out with one.
Uh-huh.
These Japanese, they just go like that all day long, never get up. Well, it's a horrible job.
Looks like it'd be slow back-breaking job.
Well, you were on the good end of it after all.
Yeah, could stand up, do most of it.
Well, did Asel Farr decide to stay in Ogden? Is that how he got to Ogden?
Well, no, he wasn't married then. Neither one of us were married. We went.
Is he an awful man?
Uh-huh. We went.
He had a coal company.
Round trip. We had a round trip ticket.
Same train went back. It came up, you mean?
Same kind of trains, anyway. We went back to.
Where did he? Did he marry a girl from down there too?
I don't know. I don't remember what. Where his girl was from that he married.
She wasn't remember the church.
I remember they were far cold.
He was sure disappointed in his first baby, though. It wasn't what he wanted.
Oh, what did he want?
He almost cried. I think he did cry.
He did cry.
He wanted a little boy. He had a girl. He hardly.
He had a boy and John wanted a girl.
Can't win. Find your trade.
Well, driving the train didn't mind anything.
I don't imagine it took him long to be consoled. Did he
yes,
ever have...
Yes, it did.
Did it?
Yes, it did.
You
oh,
mean...
man, I'd have divorced him.
Ace, I mean. No, John didn't, no. I didn't mean about Ace. No, John just got very fancy, man. Yeah. When I got back to my room, I
I just had the preference, was all.
He had a girl's name all picked out and everything, and I asked him if it was a girl. What if I told him he'd go to? He said, well, it's not a girl, you can name it. And I said, okay, we'll call it Jack. And he said, then I couldn't name it.
Oh! Mm-hmm. It turned out to be a little boy.
After. Named him after his two granddaddies.
He and my sister did that. I didn't even know if they decided to name him for it. Get me an announcement at the hospital.
That sounds like Tracy. I go down the list, and any time I can come across any name, he'll agree to whatsoever. That's it. We almost said a name, Shirlene. I finally they sent me a notice through the mail that they had to have the name for the birth certificate. Would I please decide on a name and send it in? I finally just wrote Shirlene, send it in.
I think Shirlene's a pretty name.
I do too. I couldn't quite convince him at the time. Are you consoled to him now?
Well, she's a pretty girl.
Mm. You think she is?
How long have you folks lived here now?
Probably
4 years.
4 years. We came in 55, fall 55.
You lived in Salt Lake City before then?
No, we were in New York.
Could actually be New York for 7 years.
For 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
Then we lived in Salt Lake City before that, though, for 3 years, I guess.
Well, he was getting his degree at university. We lived there at Stadium Village, and then he went right back to New York to work at General Electric. And then we came right out here. We've been here ever since. I told him I put my roots down. You better not try to pull them up again.
Yeah, when we went to El Paso, John said, you're going to live here the rest of your life. I didn't think I wanted to drive in town. He said, well, you're going to live here the rest of your life, so you better get used to it. And I've been collecting junk all these years, and I'm just, we're going to move.
Are you ready? Or is this just a brainwave?
Well, we talked about moving after I retire, but I don't know. We haven't made up our mind where we want to live yet.
How many years before you retire?
Oh, about 4.
He has enough years, man. Plenty of them over. But he's not old enough.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about retiring on disability several years ago. But I kept getting better all the time, so now I've got to go on and work.
Dr. Hall wanted to retire when he cut his hand.
You can get better and better and better.
Yeah. My sorrow.
They'll cut your seniority down.
Make me go on to work till I'm so old I can't do anything else.
You haven't chosen a place to retire, huh? Well, how about coming up here at the Pretty Valley?
Yeah, there are lots of pretty places.
Come up here and do some genealogy work.
I might get stuck in the stove and couldn't get out.
That's the trouble. Dad has always said all his life he's going to go south. He doesn't like it where it's cold. And here he's been all his life. He's always been going to go south where it's warm. Every winter I can remember him complaining because it's so cold. He didn't like that cold. He's going to go where it was warmer.
Your mother doesn't like it either.
Doesn't she?
The cold?
I've never heard her complain about it.
She likes to get out of the cold.
She can't move Dad. He's immovable. The rock is Gibraltar. He just plain doesn't like to travel. When she was working out at Hillfield during the war, she saved all these bonds, and after the war was over, she's going to move. She's going to travel. And she finally got him up to Alaska, and I guess now she's sorry she went, but that's where she got her ear trouble. But that's the only trip they've gone on to speak of since they
came down to our house in the winter.
Did they? Well.
Yeah, they were down there, and they went over and saw some of his relatives over at Douglas.
She said that since he was more at home at our house than any place. And she went in there one morning and he stretched out on that couch I had in the dining room.
Oh, good.
And she said, I thought, well. we took him to Carl's Bed Tavern.
Oh, no.
That's where my children got their impression of Aunt Charlotte. Alice Jean and Connor says, when Aunt Charlotte decides to do something, it gets done.
That's very true.
She got up at 5 o'clock in the morning and routed everybody out. She was ready to go, and we went. We went to Carl's bed.
Wake up, it's time to go. Can you remember your grandfather at all?
No, I can't remember anything about my grandfather. I can remember my grandmother.
Can you?
Norton. She was a little English woman.
Well, I knew her, but she means your grandmother Carson.
Either one of them. Mm-hmm. Either one of them. Would be fine. Tell me about your grandmother Norton. Was your grandfather Norton alive? Do you remember him?
I don't remember. I don't think, I can't remember ever seeing any of my grandfolks, except my grandmother and
I.
She's the only one I can remember.
She came over to Tucson.
She lived with us for a while over in Tucson, and that's where I learned to love her.
She's making banana cream cake.
Mmm, sounds good. Well, tell me all you can about her. I know very little about her. My mother told me a little about her. She was quite a woman from what she told me.
Yeah, she was. Well, she was just, she wasn't much bigger than a pint of soap. And a little sharp lady. I don't remember very much about her except that I did like her. I liked her all the time. She liked me, and we got along fine together.
And he said, a little lady, that just describes her. She was a little lady. Yeah, and she...
Everything had to be just right with her.
And she always looked just so. Every hair was in place, just as neat as a pin. And she had more vitality than any one person I ever knew for her age. And she was never idle the minute she was doing something. Tatting, boy, she just yards of it.
I always remember her hands. Every time I'd see her hand, it just reminded me of somebody that had done a lot of work with them. It just looked like hands had been worked.
She was a midwife too, wasn't she? My mother tells a story on her grandfather, her husband. He was a lot older than his wife. And, she said that when he met her, and she was coming out of the house and practically ran into him, and he watched her go down the lane and said, I'm going to marry that girl. And he did, but she was a lot younger than he was. And the mother said that as soon as his oldest son got old enough to push the plow handle, he went in the house and sat down and never did another piece of work all his life. His kids did it. And he just read all around to his life.
green tie shoes.
Wait, what?
That picture that we have, that picture, haven't you noticed the one that we gave your mother?
Is that one of him in the beard?
Yes.
Well, now I like that as a face.
And his shoes are not tied. And Grandma Norton said they never were.
She tells some stories on him. I was reading one the other day. My boy, he came in the house one day. Or was this one of her sons? No, I think it was her husband. And there was a case of eggs sitting there. And he bet this man that he was with it, he could outsuck him, you know, sucking these eggs. Mm-hmm. And they just went through dozens of eggs, but finally, and the man who lost had to pay for the whole case. And Grandpa Norton won.
I remember something about a story about carrying flour home that over in central Arizona. It seemed that they told Granddad if he'd carry 400 pounds of flour home, that he'd have it. And the story is that he put one on each shoulder and one under each arm and went home with it.
Wow.
I don't know.
Oh, he was a big, tall man, wasn't he?
He doesn't look very big in the picture.
Doesn't he? Oh, for some reason I had the impression he was.
I couldn't even carry 50 pounds back home.
Where do you, Clarkson's, get your height? I never was. I thought Grandpa Clarkson was just an average height man. But you boys are quite tall.
Uncle John Norton's tall.
Oh, is it from the Norton side?
Your mother's tall.
Yeah, mother.
Mother?
Well, Dad wasn't very short.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't short.
But I don't know much about my granddad, Clarkson. I don't know whether he was a tall man or not.
You remember anything about your grandfather Norton? Did you ever meet him?
Mm.
He said that was the only one you knew was the...
I don't remember either one of my granddaddies.
I never did know much about the Norton side of the family at all. I wish now I'd pinpointed grandmother more when she was alive.
Well, you know, when I was young, I didn't pay any attention to things that we think about now that we like to collect and,
mm-hmm.
and make notes of and remember. Things just went by us then. We didn't pay any attention to it. If we, just like grandmother's old guitar, I have her guitar at home. But
you do?
It originally was in one of these wooden cases when we were over in Tucson, and I thought, well, I don't want this old wooden case. I'll get a good modern case, one that's pretty.
Oh.
So I didn't pay any attention to that old wooden case and just threw it away.
Really?
Yeah, uh-huh. And there was, it wasn't round like the shape of a guitar. It was made in sections. Just in segments where it was cut out.
Mm-hmm. It'd be a real museum piece now.
Yeah, I thought.
It wasn't there when you got the guitar, was it?
Yeah.
I didn't see it.
When did you get kind
it
of
had the guitar
of that?
Was in it. Oh, that was.
That was Grandmother Clarkson, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Johanna.
But if I had it now, I'd think it as much of the case as I would the guitar.
I wonder what happened to her loom. And has anybody got any of her weaving?
Not none that I know of. I don't know of any. For a while, we had Grandpa's Clarkson's watch, and we had Grandmother's sewing kit with little bits of spools of thread and little needles. You could hardly see the needles.
Hmm.
And they were in a little, some kind of a little ivory box. And the last I saw them, Berta had them. And she married a fellow by the name of Jack O'Brien in Tucson. And I think he got them and got hold of them. And that's the last we ever saw them. Big old watch, silver watch, it weighed 2 or 3 pounds. Huh. And he had to wind it with a key.
Oh, goodness. Mm.
Big silver watch is one that he carried when he was, I think he was a policeman in New York City for a while. And that's the watch that he carried then.
I have sure heard a lot of tales about what he was when he was in New York City. I've heard that he was a dentist in New York City.
Mm-hmm. He was a dentist.
And I heard that I'd like to know what kind of dentistry he practiced.
Well, maybe all he had was a pair of pliers.
You know how the medical schools were in those days. By comparison, I can imagine what the dental schools were.
Maybe he just pulled and then replaced.
But I know he practiced, his letter said he practiced dentistry.
Dentistry and photography, and he was an interpreter.
Have you ever heard the story of what happened, how he got in the Civil War?
Mm-hmm.
How that was real true.
I told us that one.
He didn't know getting in there even.
No, that was really, that was sad. It's really amazing, though. They didn't see each other for about 4 years and didn't have any communication whatsoever. It's a wonder she didn't marry somebody else while he was waiting to get... The thing I couldn't understand in his letter, the thing that puzzled me with the interpretation of the letter, is that he said that he went to Salt Lake and then back to Omaha and then back to Salt Lake again. Somehow in his letter, it gives the impression that he made two trips.
Yeah, he was traveling. He came over here first to send his wife and family.
When did who was the first one he sent over? Did he send his mother?
According to his letter, he sent his mother.
Now, I haven't looked up the ship that she came on. I've looked up the ship. Have you got that?
No.
I've got that. That's something I've got you haven't got then. I'd better get to. I've got the ship she came on, and I've got a count of the voyage that her mother came on, and then I've got the account of the ship that Johanna and her son, he brought them. That the ship they came on.
Right. But they came together.
No.
No, he sent his mother over first.
And then he sent her mother.
And then... Yeah, her mother.
And then he sent... now, I don't know whether her mother and his mother were on the same ship or not, because I didn't know anything about her mother. I didn't know that he'd sent her mother. So when I was looking at the record, I just looked for her mother and for her.
I know he sent them over before he came over, because he said he had some business over there that he had to take care of. He had to go down into Germany or someplace in those countries. And he went down in there, and, he said he also had to finish his education. So he went down somewhere down in there and either worked or went to school or something.
My understanding there was that he went into the war. There was a war between Germany and some other country over Holstein, well, some little peninsula they were fighting over anyway. I'll have to look it up to give you the right war. And he worked as a photographer in this war, and that's where he got money to bring himself across.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way I understood it, but that may have been high story.
No, that's, I don't know whose story it was. It's the only story I've heard.
You've heard, huh?
Uh-huh. He stayed there for, I don't know the particulars about what reasons he had for staying there, other than that...
make some money.
In his letter, he wanted to make some money in order to get him, and then he said that he started on his voyage for America.
And got shipwrecked.
And got shipwrecked. And landed...
In Ireland,
yeah. And... stayed in Ireland there for a little while, and finally, according to his letter, he...
After many harrowing experiences,
right, he got started again on another ship for America.
I'd like to know what kind of a shipwreck that was. Apparently he didn't lose any of his possessions, because he didn't mention the fact that he had to stay and earn money. He didn't mention losing his money until he got to New York. And another thing I found out when I was doing research was that when the immigrants first came in, this is probably what he should have done. Maybe he wouldn't have got hijacked of all his money. But they had a big circular building that they called Castle Garden. And the government had erected this in New York specifically for the immigrants when they came in. And I wonder if that door isn't cold on her. These people are used to more heat than this.
You cold?
I told him thanks and he opened it.
Oh,
are you cold?
No, I just thought you were. And when the immigrants came in here, they could stay in the building,
mm-hmm.
in this building free, and until they went on their way wherever they were going. And they were supposed to have guards there to keep the city slickers out, so they couldn't come and chip them out of their money before they had a chance, you know, to get started. But apparently he didn't come through Castle Garden. The others did. The other immigrants came through Castle Garden. But he apparently didn't. He'd spent the night there instead of a hotel. Well, maybe he wouldn't have had his money stolen.
How did you get the name of the ship that he came on?
I didn't get the name of the ship he came on. I got the one that she came on and her mother came on, but not the one he came on. I don't know what he came on.
And how did you get those?
I went to the church historian's office, and they have rosters of those ships, and her name appeared on one of the rosters, and then it said what ship she came on. So then I went to the Old Desert Newses and looked up the accounts of those voyages. And I don't know whether I've got them all of the accounts all written out. You can get a copy of them. They're quite interesting. The one that Johanna Charlotte Shereen was on wasn't very, it was quite a calm voyage. And they described how they gave them certain rations on the ships and the rations that they passed out to them every day. And she told how they were organized into companies on the ship. Typical Latter-day Saint organization.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they had them all delegated into companies with the captain at the head of each company, you know, and he had certain, just like a bishop with his flock underneath him to take care of them. And then they had their meetings on board the ship and on Sundays. They mentioned in the account that there were several marriages and several children born, several people died, and those all appeared in the account. But now the one that Johanna's mother, what was her name?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Can't remember either. But the one that she was on, it was a rougher voyage. They had more people die, and I read some of the accounts just out of interest of some of the other boats. And on some of those boats, they really had a high mortality among the children. They'd get an epidemic of measles going, and they just wiped the kids right out.
Exactly.
Well, do you suppose I could find? And my grandmother walked all the way across the plains, but she came over on a boat. Do you suppose I could find
her? Sure. Yeah, but you might have to go through quite a few of those rosters to find her. That's what I did. But now, if she's a pioneer, they've got them all alphabetized. And you go right in there, tell them the name, and they'll look up the name and tell you which ship she came on and everything. And I don't know whether they've got those Old Desert News. I imagine they have them on microfilm now. I had a hard time getting them out of the historian's office. They didn't want to let me use them because they were so old, you know. But they did. But now I think they're all on microfilm.
You can get the Desert News
over here.
From the beginning, your library now.
On microfilm.
On microfilm?
Mm-hmm. Did you ever know any of your cousins by any of the other wives?
Mm-hmm.
And how about Ida Wilson? How many children did she have?
Well, when Dad married her, she had two.
Already?
Cyrus.
Is she a widow? Oh, I didn't know that.
Cyrus was the boy's name and Burl was the girl's name.
And then did she have any by your father?
Yeah, she had three. I didn't know then until I came this time.
How'd you find that out?
Well, Charlotte has genealogy on it.
Oh, I didn't know about the mother too. Is she sealed to your father or to the first husband?
Well, I don't know if she's sealed either one of them or not. She married a Nelson first, and I don't think they were sealed.
Did he die?
She had these two.
Or did she divorce him?
Let's see, she had, there was three children, but I didn't know the one. No, there was two. And then she had three by father, and I don't know the oldest one of them. We don't have his name.
You don't? Interesting. That's good chasing that one down. That should appear in the record sometime.
Mm-hmm.
If you could ever catch your father, light your father long enough to catch him in a record.
Her children were down there with her, and I remember her.
Where were they? Where were you when the children were with them? Can you remember?
Yeah, we were down in those tie camps, working railroad dumps.
Well, there wouldn't have been an organized branch very close.
No.
Oh, so there's no records there.
No.
Yeah, were they ever with you where there would have been were they in Oaxaca?
Mm. Let's see. No.
No, I can't remember your father.
The only place they came over, and they came over to San Jose. My mother wasn't there then. But I didn't remember that until Erna was telling me a while up there. Your father said that my Aunt Ida was the one that came over to Morelos with the family and took care of us. Mother was out here in the States for a while, and we lived with Aunt Ida. She took care of Sarah when he first came over to San Jose. I don't know how long.
Do you remember much about her?
Well, yeah. I don't remember too much about her. I remember that, but the only thing I definitely remember was that one of her eyes, the pupil in it was double. I don't remember which eye.
Oh, really?
She had a double pupil in one eye.
Huh. Maybe she could see twice as much.
as near as I can remember, she was quite a nice looking woman. But I don't remember much about her.
Mm-hmm. Yes, baby. Well, what time is it?
Father, when he was a baby, his mother, they didn't want her to marry the man she married. And when grandfather,
father's handmaiden,
uh-huh. And when grandfather was born, they it seemed to have been a secret marriage or something, because they took him. The story is they took him and her and locked them up in a castle and wouldn't let them see each other. And he never did know his father. He never did know for sure who his father was. Some.
Uncle High said. Did he know his mother?
No. Uncle High said that the families were feuding. But the boy and the girl got married from the feuding family, and they took the girl and locked her up. And then the baby came, while they gave the baby to Grandma Carson to take care of. That's the way Uncle High told it to us. And the older Carson children could remember when their father would see this Gravy Root, whoever he was. And he'd have money. And so they just figured that he paid them to keep the baby. And Grandma Carson died before he got there. And she was going to tell him who he really was. But he died before she died before he got there. That's what Uncle High told. So he never found out for sure whether who he was, who he spoke to.
In his letter, he said that he went somewhere, and for the first time he met this Graffy Root. Graffy is means nobleman.
Oh, it's some title.
In Sweden, it's title. And he'd see this Graffy Root, and he would give him money to travel on and for his education. So he thought that maybe that probably was his father, but he didn't know for sure. Just assuming that he might have been.
Well, he's the one that paid his education when he was traveling. Well, you don't do that for a casual a person you come in contact casually while you're traveling, I wouldn't think.
No.
But he was extremely unusual anyway.
Unless the person was a...
He said this is the very first sentence. He says, I was born such and such a time of G, R, and H, H, or something like that.
Mm-hmm. So he,
and you know, it also sounded intriguing when he said that when the missionaries converted him to the gospel, he could see the error of his way and repented of his, what did he say?
I don't remember what word he used in there.
Anyway, it led me to believe he had quite... he's been picking up his heel a little bit, so to speak,
beforehand. He said that made him see the error of his ways.
I've been doing a little study on Swedish courting customs, and the Swedes, you can see why they have such a high rate of illegitimacy. Over there, they just don't marry lots of times. They just decide they're going to live together, and they live together and have a family, and maybe someday some priest will come along and convince them they ought to be married, just to be married, but they really don't seem to make much of an issue of it. So, I think that's one reason that the church records have insisted on having the father's name when the child was born out of wedlock. But usually the father's name is listed. That's why I may go back into those old records and see if there is a child listed for that family. Did you notice when you were going through those files whether they have the birth records of Sweden here? On my goodness.
I think so.
Well, we can have that done. All we have to do is pay a genealogist to do that for us down there.
Many often, though, that take quite a while. Imagine finding
them. You only have to go that year. You only have to go and search. You know where he was born. He was born in Stockholm.
No, he was born in Ronneby.
He was?
Uh-huh.
Where did you get that?
What name is that?
Ronneby, Blecking, Blecking, whatever that means. Ronneby, Ronneby, Blecking. It's in the southern part of, right around Malmo.
Yeah. Well, when he was born in Malmo.
What does Malmo land mean? I couldn't find Malmo land on there.
I couldn't either. I found Malmo. That's the county. That's how they're divided.
Yeah, there's a... On the records, most records says Malmo Hus.
Uh-huh.
But on my record, I have Malmo Land, L-A-N.
Malmo Land.
Your mother has
a
sheet of paper with a lot of names on it, and that's where I got a lot of my names. It's a big, long list of... children, their mother and their father, and where they were born, and date, and where. And it's in this that I think.
You know, that's another thing we could clear up too, is her genealogy. You know, she spent quite a bit of money to have them work on the dream line, and she hasn't heard one word from that genealogy. And they should be able to clear that up from the birth record. I mean, you know, they don't know for sure. They know that she had brothers that were named such and such and such, but they don't know for sure or how they appear in the family, but that should be on the birth records of the Lutheran Church there. I thought she ought to check into that. I wonder if she ever did.
Yeah, she was talking about the other night, but Burma told her that probably didn't have had enough time.
Oh.
Because it was, she said, about 2 years on one batch before they had her returned home.
Oh, I'm rather anxious for those to come back in to see what the
story
is on that.
Let's see, you said you had to have your suitcase in.
Well, thank you very much. Let me get your address.